We have been following an Advent series, so where do I fit in? Obviously it's not Advent anymore, but we've still got the series going, so I think this is the last one. So where do I fit in? And we've got this question this morning which ties in with quite a bit of the worship that we've already had and the things that Anita has been sharing. How long must I wait? And you can see from the pictures we're going to be looking at Luke 2, verses 22 to 40, and Simeon and Anna. But before we do that, I've got something very special to do. Because as Anita has already indicated in her prayers, Margaret Buck is, this is her last Sunday with us. She is moving back up to Preston, the north, yes. On the 3rd of January. And we reckon Joe reckons you've been in Bromsgrove around about 15 years?
Yeah.
Yep. Firstly, worshipping at New Song Church, and then coming here, when Howard was minister. And, Margaret's had a big effect on, certainly on my life, and I'm sure on many people's lives, during her time here. She's a person of prayer. We will miss her. She's an encourager. Yeah, I can hear lots of yeses going on. Okay. So we've got a little card here for you.
Thank you.
Okay. And perhaps when you move, something else might arrive to greet you when you move. Yeah. And Anita's already prayed for you, so I'm not going to pray for you again. But I know that many of us will continue to pray for you. And I know that you'll keep in touch with some people here. And I'm really excited that you're still going to be part of Street Pastors.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
In need of a bit of a...
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
In need of a bit of Margaret.
Yeah, a bit of Margaret, a bit of a northerness. Yes, okay. So what Margaret is going to do now, along with Dennis, they're going to do our reading. Because it's about Simeon and Anna. Take that however you want. No.
Too old conscious.
No, that's what you said. That's what you said, not me. No. So they're going to read some familiar words from Luke 2 about two fantastic people who are part of the Christmas Nativity story.
The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons, as is required by the law of the Lord. At the time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God.
Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With mine own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles, and bring glory to your people Israel. This child is chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God, which many people will speak against, and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break your own heart.
There was a very old prophetess a widow named Anna, daughter of, yes, that lady, of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple day and night and worshipped God, fasting and praying that very same hour she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about a child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free.
Don't know how many of you remember and perhaps watched a sitcom in the 90s. It was on BBC called Waiting for God. Oh, okay. Thought there'd be somebody. It was set in a residential home, and it centred around two elderly characters, one male, one female, who was played by Stephanie Cole, I think. And I did watch some clips. It was very funny, but not suitable to show in church. And but these two were not there in this home through their own choosing. They'd been put there by relatives who thought that was the best place for them. And they were not sitting around waiting for God, for their maker, quite the opposite. They did wanted to continue to live life to the full. And that's probably the point at which the similarities between Simeon and Anna stop. But two people we've read about, Simeon and Anna, still being used by God, part of the Christmas nativity story, not there present at the birth or even shortly afterwards as the Magi were, but in Jerusalem when Mary and Joseph went to do as was the tradition for firstborn sons in particular. Sometimes I think the church is perhaps a bit guilty of forgetting about the elderly. You know, when I was becoming a Christian in the 70s and 80s, there was this phrase, and Anita's already referred to it, the children of the church of tomorrow. Now, quite rightly, we say they're the church of today. And we are ever reminded, aren't we, of the needs of youth and young people growing up. But you know, God is interested in all of us equally, regardless of our age or whatever stage we are at in life's journey. And God cares for us from the cradle to the grave, as the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born, even to your old age and grey hairs," got lots of them, "I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and will carry you. I will sustain you and will rescue you." So, we have these two people, Simeon. Simeon's described, as we know in that reading, as a righteous man. He's devout. And he's been blessed by the Holy Spirit. And he's waiting. He's waiting on a promise that God had given him. We don't know how God revealed to Simeon that he would have a role in this story before he died. A promise that he would see the Lord's Christ, the one who would save both Gentile and Jew. We don't know how many years, long years, he might have waited in faith and expectation. We don't know if at times he perhaps doubted God's words, God's promise, or that he just persevered with unwavering faith. We don't know any of that. We know nothing of him in that sense beforehand. Because what really matters is that when the critical time came to trust and obey God, that's what he did. God guides him specifically on this day and then uses him with prophecy. And then we have Anna, very different person, We know perhaps even less about her. We know some facts relating to her age and her situation in life. A different story, but still fitting in. So where do I fit in? This is where they fit in to God's plan of salvation. She was a widow who worshipped continually. She was always in the temple. And again, you get that sense that she had that knowledge of Scripture and was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because she realized what she was seeing as Simeon blessed the infant Jesus. She realized that this was the one who the Jews were waiting for, the coming Messiah. And then she, like the shepherds before her in the story, and countless disciples since, went and told other people. Said, look, the one has come, the one, the promise of salvation. She was driven, as it were, to tell the good news to others. Both devout, both recognizing Jesus, both worshipping him, both telling others about him. Should be a summary of our lives, shouldn't it? Each one of us, regardless of our age. So we have this question, how long must I wait? I'm sure when Keith put this together as a series, he meant it as a rhetorical question, you know, a bit like, how long is a piece of string? But are you, like others before you, asking it about something in your life? A difficulty? A struggle, perhaps, as Anita's referred to in her prayers, personal situation, yours or somebody close to you, unanswered prayer? Or perhaps just waiting for God's blessing on yours or someone's life, for Jesus to come and to complete his work of salvation in you. Hebrews 9 and verse 28 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So, are you just waiting? Or are you doing something while waiting? 4 points to just help us to think about. Firstly, we're going to look at waiting and listening, and then waiting and looking, waiting and trusting, and then waiting and giving, either way around. So, firstly, waiting and listening. Simeon, we have, he's sensitive, as I've already said, isn't he, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He's listening out for God's prompting. He'd heard God saying to him to go to the temple that day. And, you know, when he got there, you know, he perhaps was in the quietness of his home when he heard God speak to him and say, go to the temple today. But when he got there, it would not have been quiet. You know, Paul referred to the carol Silent Night. Apparently, actually, in the German, the word is not silent. It just means quiet. Okay. You know, when Simeon got to the temple, it would not have been silent or even quiet. It would have been noisy. In those outer courts, it always was noisy. There would have been lots of people there doing different things. There would have been other couples bringing their children, their sons, to be presented along with sacrifice, some of which would have been much noisier than the couple of doves or pigeons that Mary and Joseph bought. They bought that. That was the cheapest sacrifice, if you liked, because they were not well off. Jesus was born into poverty. But other people who would have been better off would have brought noisier gifts to be sacrificed, lambs, for instance. So there would have been a lot of animal noises as well as lots and lots of people. And, you know, I don't imagine Simeon kind of sort of rushing around, you know, looking to each child, saying, God, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one you mean? In amongst all that noise, Simeon is able to hear the voice of God, the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, This is the couple. This is the child who will bring salvation to both Gentile and Jew. And you know, there's a kind of stillness that's got little to do with sound or level of noise, stillness of spirit, a quietness of the soul, stillness of an inner being despite noise and what being going around, a stillness that means that you're able to hear, to listen to the still, small voice of God. We live in a noisy world, don't we? As Simeon did, probably, just different noises. Many of us rush a lot. We have busy, hectic lives. Stress and worry are constant companions for many people. Psalm 37 and verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord, be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when other people succeed in their ways." Another reason I think that Simeon could do this listening, could hear God, was because he knew scripture. He was soaked in the written word. He knew those Old Testament prophecies and he believed them. You know, and we won't be able to distinguish God's voice from amongst perhaps the many voices that we hear clamoring for our attention in our lives if we're not getting familiar with the written word. Nor will God ever tell us to do anything that's contrary to scripture, to what he's written down in this book. So listening for that still small voice, knowing God's voice because we know his written word. Secondly, waiting and looking to Jesus. Simeon uses the imagery of light, doesn't he? And we think of John's words, Jesus coming as light of the world. It's a symbol, an image that we've already looked at in this series. A guiding light that God gives us as we wait on him will always lead us to Jesus, to his life, how he coped with waiting, how he waited for God to speak, to lead and to guide him. He's our example of how to live a life of waiting, a life worthy of Jesus, of giving glory to God. There's that phrase, isn't there, in every situation we should be asking, what would Jesus do? It's not just a guiding light that Jesus brings, but a revealing light as well. You know, as we wait on God, as we look to Jesus, then we will know what to do. And again, I don't see this as a kind of rushing around, if you like, looking under every stone, trying every door, searching in that sense. Just the doors and the places that God leads us to. Even if sometimes they perhaps remain closed for a while and we have to stand and keep knocking. We keep on going with that looking. Hebrews 12 and verses 2 and 3 says, it talks about there being a cloud of witnesses, people who we can look, not just Jesus, who we can look back on his life and how he waited upon God, but all those other giants and ordinary people as well in scripture, how they waited upon God. And the writer to the Hebrews goes on to say, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, who because of the joy awaiting him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and is now seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. Looking to Jesus, that's where our eyes should be fixed as we wait on God for whatever it is that we are wanting him to show us. Then we will not become weary or give up. Thirdly, waiting and trusting. Trusting in God's mercy, trusting in his grace, perhaps almost despite the silence. The prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 8 and verse 17, I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. That ability to be still trusting God and who he is when there's silence, when he doesn't seem to be speaking or leading and guiding, when we're in darkness. As I said, we don't know how long Simeon had been waiting to be used in this way, trusting in God's timing, his plans, his ways are not our ways. That should be familiar to us, those of us who are here regularly. We don't know. We know that Simeon was a devout man, soaked in the scriptures and prayer, that he knew God himself as well. It wasn't just an academic knowledge that he had of God. He knew him in his heart. He knew his faithfulness to his people in the past. He knew the character of God, what he is like, not only what he does. Though of course, the two are interlinked. Thanking God for who he is, not just what he does. I think some of us, or perhaps many of us, find that a lot harder. You know, when we pray to God, how quickly do we go on to asking, and perhaps including in that thanks for answered prayer? How much time do we spend worshipping God for his character, for who he is, the person of God, just praising him, creator, sustainer, holy, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, judge, banner. You know, there's something like 100 names for God in scripture. How often do we use those names? Particularly in prayer. Or do we always just pray to God as Father? I know that's important because that signifies relationship, but God is more than our Father. And when we're in those dark and difficult places, just knowing God as Father may not be enough. For some of us, God as Father is not a great image for various reasons. God is also almighty, all things. We used this slide when we were looking at the names of God and how we can live and trust in those names of God. God is our rock. All the words that go with Jehovah, our sustainer, provider, redeemer, strength. Lots and lots of aspects to God's character that we need to know in our hearts and be reminded of, particularly when we're finding it difficult to trust in him. Knowing who God is enables us to wait. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We sang that earlier. Eagles' wings. Did you believe it as you sang it? Was it a truth in your heart? You have that trust in God, knowing that he can take you above the blackness and the darkness and the difficulty in order to worship him and be renewed. It's not ignoring those difficult things. It's not ignoring that question, how long must I wait? But we need, in order to cope with that and to cope with whatever it is we're questioning God about or waiting on him for, we need to be lifted above it on eagle's wings. To be renewed and strengthened so that we can then live our lives that are worthy of him. Maybe you think, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray this kind of stuff. Well, use a psalm. You know, something I used to do, and I still occasionally do. I know the first 31 psalms better than any others. Because when I'm finding something difficult, I'll think, what day of the week is it? What, you know, day of the month, I mean, not day of the week. What day of the month is it? And I'll turn to that psalm. So today, what is it, 28th? I would read Psalm 28, and God would speak to me. The psalms are full of that language of praise and worship and trust in God, as well as the psalmist asking the question, how long, Lord? The psalms are there for us, I think, to use in our relationship with God, in our times with God, to read those words, those scriptures to God as a prayer. Because they poured out their hearts to God. They shared their confusion, the pain, the worry, and yet demonstrate too, through their words in those psalms, a trust and acknowledgement of an almighty, powerful God. Worship. Worship while you wait. Psalm 37 and verses 4 and 5 says, take delight in the Lord. That's what that worship means in that sense. Taking delight in the Lord. And he will give you, eventually, the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will do this. Anna was like that. She was a worshipper. She's described as being a worshipper. She fasted and prayed in the temple gates, probably doing and being used in other ways as well. Because worship, as we know, is not just about what happens in a temple or in this place or in our quiet times with God. Romans 12 tells us that spiritual worship is about our whole life. And that leads on to my final point, waiting and giving. Serving God whilst waiting. Not a passive waiting of doing nothing much, but an active one, using the gifts that God gives us. You know, sometimes perhaps whatever it is we're waiting on can become almost all-consuming of our time and our energies and prayers. And for some people in very difficult and perhaps painful situations, that's inevitable. But I'm not sure that is necessarily, don't get me wrong, what God wants. You know, we're to offer our lives, ourselves in service, as that verse in Romans 12 says. We should continue to be used in whatever way God wants us to use our time, not just sitting around perhaps as some do, and not just in retirement homes. God wants to continue to use us, to gift us, to give us opportunities to serve, no matter what our age or disability. Just like Simeon and Anna. What are you doing? What am I doing? How are we doing as we wait on God for him to reveal what he has for each of us? You know, whilst in preparation for this, I was silver surfing, as the phrase goes, apparently. I came across a song that I didn't know. It's called While I'm Waiting. While I'm Waiting. It's by somebody called John Waller, who I'd not heard of either. And the words of the song are quite simple. They focus on saying that while I'm waiting, I will serve you, I will worship. So it picks up on those two final points. And when I looked at it on YouTube, there were lots and lots of different versions. Same song, same John Waller singing it, but lots and lots of people had put different videos to it. And that kind of spoke to me really about how perhaps this question, how long must I wait, is one that's very current and in lots of people's minds for various reasons. But the version that I've chosen, I chose because every slide had a verse of scripture on it. So in the background, and we're going to watch this, in the background we will hear the words of the song, which talk about, while I'm waiting, I will worship, I will serve. But there is lots of scripture as well. And my prayer is that one of these will be what God has for you this morning. Or that there is something in the service. I know that God wants to speak to us through his word. And there'll be something that we've read or that's going to appear on the screen now that will be for you in your situation as you wait upon God.